From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's field trip is absolutely recognized as one of the Bay Area's best and busiest actors, Stacy Ross. Miss Ross appears on all the important stages in the area. Currently, she's working at the Aurora Theater in Berkeley in a collection of one-act plays by Thornton Wilder entitled Wilder Times, which is directed by Barbara Oliver. You may have seen Stacy Ross recently in God of Carnage at the Marin Theater Company, or perhaps as Lady Macbeth or Mrs. Warren at the California Shakespeare Company, where she's also an artistic associate, as well as being a member of both the Playground and the Symmetry Theater. When she was named Best Actor in the East Bay, one reviewer wrote this about her. One of the most remarkable things about the characters that Stacy Ross plays is the way you can see them thinking. Whatever's actually going on in Ross's head as she performs, the effect created is an illusion of seeing the wheels turning in her character's head as she tries to untangle whatever fix she's in, whether it's outmaneuvering Napoleon in The Man of Destiny, a serial killer specialist in Frozen, a sleazy trailer park stepmom in Killer Joe, or a cross-dressing princess in The Triumph of Love. No wonder this versatile actor pops up in such a wide variety of roles all around the Bay. Well, I'm honored that she's been gracious enough to pop up here today, which I'd like to point out is her Equity Day off. And she's talking with me. Please welcome to the field trip, Miss Stacy Ross. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And whoever wrote that East Bay thing, that's sweet. I haven't seen that.
Well, you know, let me congratulate you first off on your fine work in Wilder Times.
Oh, thanks so much. It's quite a treat. I've never done Wilder, and it's been a really wonderful maiden voyage for me, and I'm having a great time doing the show. Terrific cast, and it's material that kind of sneaks up on you. It has a resonance that you feel. It's sneaky stuff and warm and not at all sappy. It's just been a real treat.
Well, let me quote from Wilder, who said about his work that his work is an attempt to find a value above all price for the smallest events in daily life. And I can tell you, I was there with a fellow actor the other night who commented to me that your work is very natural. It doesn't seem like somebody who's acting, but just a very real person. What's the secret to doing that?
I think, you know, actors all have their way of going into things and coming out, and we all have our strong suits. And I think that my strong suit has always been just an honest delivery. It's all I know how to do, so I can't tell you why that happens or how. That's just the actor I happen to be, if that doesn't sound too silly. I don't know. It's nothing conscious on my part. I just try to figure out who this person is and, you know, honestly react the way that person might. And sometimes that's heroic, and sometimes it's absolutely awful. But if it's what you feel the character will do, which is what the playwright and director and designers help you achieve, then that's just the final product. I don't really know why my work comes off the way it does. It's just, that's just what I do. I can't really explain it any better than that, unfortunately.
Well, this is four plays, four short plays, and one of them is called The Happy Journey to Trenton and Camden. And
yes.
You play the mother, and really this little play is all about the mother.
It kind of is. And I have to say that I didn't realize that till quite close to starting the rehearsal, when I actually took the time to read his intro to that play, which he had considered naming Portrait of a Lady. And there was also just a very brief couple of lines of sort of warning the actor of probable pitfalls, of making it too broadly comic or idiosyncratic in a way that would take away from I think just the reality of the character and the family he was trying to portray, and just those couple of sentences that Wilder put in this prologue to the play, was enormously helpful. You know, and it helped me avoid some pitfalls, I think, of turning her into a caricature instead of what I find is this very real character that's very easily relatable. It's not manipulative or sappy. It's just very, very real. And as always, the part of a play that initially bothers me the most, my fear that I don't know how to handle something, I don't know how to approach this line or this section of the play, but always, by the time we're in performance, has become my favorite part, maybe because I've had to grapple with it so much. You find a way to make it work, and then it becomes the part of the play that you end up breathing and swimming in the most.
Did Barbara Oliver direct you a lot, or did she let you find your own way with the shows?
Yes, very much. Very much. We initially had some debates about whether they should have slight New Jersey accents or not, and we all felt that it was written with the accent of not just regional of New Jersey, but also the time in which it was set, just some of the grammar, which also gives you another way in to the character, as much as the right hat or shoes will, you know? Barbara's wonderful to work with because she's so smart. But she's one of the actors who turned in, you know, became a director later in life and has never forgotten what it's like to be an actor. So she has this understanding and compassion for actors that, not every director has. She's incredibly collaborative and so smart. This is my third time working with her, and I have to say each time has been more and more rewarding.
Well, talk a bit about the last play, which is, I have to say, my favorite, The Long Christmas Dinner.
I think the beauty of that play for actors is that it presents the incredible challenge of aging right in front of the audience without the help of too many externals. So, you know, you don't suddenly get a white wig to put on your head. Although, evidently, when the play was first staged, actors did, at some point, put wigs on in front of the audience, and Wilder felt that that didn't work, it made it too comic instead of putting across the idea of sort of this natural progression. So that's also the play we all auditioned with. We only auditioned from Long Christmas Dinner, which was an interesting choice. I suppose Barbara felt that that was going to be the one to see where people could bend and stretch a bit, and that the other plays being a little bit more straightforward.
Sure.
You know, if the panel of actors she chose could handle Long Christmas Dinner, the other ones were going to be fine.
Maybe.
I've never actually spoken to her about it. That's just a supposition on my part as an actor, and why they chose that play for us to audition with.
Well, I've talked a little bit about what you've been doing quite recently, but maybe you can tell us a bit about your earlier years. Where were you raised, and what got you into acting?
I was raised in Southern California, where I was born. And I don't really know what got me into acting, but I've said before, and it remains true, that I didn't set out to be a classical actor, or I really just wanted to be on the Partridge Family when I was a kid.
Me too.
I wanted the fringe jacket and the guitar. It was something that I had always adored movies and watching old movies on television. Of course, this was pre-cable, so you could turn on the television and at any point you could run into some classic film that was just engrossing, you know. So I think I always just liked the idea of that. I've been fortunate to sort of avoid typecasting in a way, get to play a range of characters, which
I'll
is
say.
Fine. But, you know, the actual impetus I can't really quite remember. I do admit that especially when I was younger, I needed a lot of attention, and perhaps I don't need quite as much anymore. Acting is more interesting than attention or adulation at this point, which is just a nice personal evolution for me, you know?
Sure.
Sometimes one thinks, oh, I just do this because I'm an attention whore. And to feel that perhaps I've grown out of that stage of my life, it's been nice.
Well done. So, you know, as far as range goes, tell me a bit about playing Annie in the Vibrator play.
Oh, it's a gorgeous role. While being the smallest role in the play, I think it has the clearest arc. And I think Sarah Ruhl writes with such humor. And once again, like Thornton Wilder, such compassion, such love for her characters. Sarah Ruhl is brave enough to go for a happy ending, and she's smart enough to know how to pull it off. Because so many happy endings are just not realistic, or there's a little too much frosting on the cake or whatever that makes us feel that it's false. It was beautiful to work on, and Les Waters is a howl.
Well, one of the shows that I really enjoyed your performance in is one that doesn't have a lot of frosting in the ending, and that's Killer Joe.
yeah, not a whole lot of frosting there.
I hike with a bunch of people, and one of the ladies there absolutely hated the show, and every time I bring it up, steam comes out of her ears, even now, and it's a few years later.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of there with that play. I think it exists in this weird realm of saying, okay, people show this kind of violence in film all the time. Can it be done on the stage in some sort of effective way? And I think much like Martin McDonagh, it's like, yes, it can. I had a friend who came and saw it, and she said she threw up on her feet.
Yeah.
And I said, what, really? And she said, well, just a little bit. You know. And another friend who knew about the sexual violence but didn't realize that my character was going to get punched in the face, but she came backstage crying, saying, you didn't tell me you were going to get hit. And I was like, honey, it's okay. I said, it's just a play. But I do agree, it's ugly, and I'm not quite sure, truly, what Tracy Letts was trying to say with it. You know, I did two runs of that, you know, two different runs of that play, and I still don't really know.
I thought the choreography in that play was terrific. The fight scene, especially at the end, was tremendous.
Yes, and we had a female fight director, which I thought was great. I think the director was encouraged, you know, to you know, your ladies who are going to experience some mayhem might appreciate a woman's touch with this. We had this fight jock named Chris Tracer, who's fantastic, and I know that I felt somehow safer with a woman doing that, and I know how sexist that sounds, and it is sexist, but I somehow felt, okay, she's going to understand just a little bit more how I feel about the sexual violence that is going to be visited upon me, you know? But yeah, she's quite good, and we started early, because with stuff like that, it's like dancing, but the consequences are much more dangerous if you miss your steps. So we did start it early, and we went through it every day. When you have violence on stage, you always have a fight call before every show, and you go through it.
Sure. Another show that I really liked, which was, a contrasting performance for you, with a couple of people who I've also had on the show, Jim Carpenter, and you were directed by John Tracy, it was Linda McLean's play Any Given Day.
Yes. A different actor was cast in my role, and then she got an offer to go out of town and so left. And so they re-auditioned and I was called in, which I hadn't been called in the first time around. So it was very fluky, but I have to say, hands down, my favorite work experience of the last several years.
Well, this is Mitchell Field, host of The Field Trip, and I'm having so much fun chatting with actor Stacey Ross that I'm going to make this into a two-part show. You've just heard part one. Tune in next week to hear part two. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin Sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays, at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer anytime at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.